Hi everybody, welcome to the JavaScript Framework Seminar. My name is Kevin, and today I'm going to be talking about JavaScript frameworks. And the goal of this seminar is not to get you to, say, master a particular framework per se, but to give you like a broad introduction to a couple of frameworks and sort of show why we would ever want to use a framework. So before I do that, I'll provide a little background in JavaScript, and then we'll take it from there. So we're going to start by sort of implementing a to-do list. So here's our task list for today. It's kind of funny. We have to implement a to-do list in JavaScript. This is what it's going to look like. So that's our first goal. We're not going to use a framework to do that. We're just going to sort of just code JavaScript and get the to-do list to work. Then we're going to improve the design without using a framework. We're just going to discuss various things we can do with just JavaScript alone to make our to-do list a little more well-designed. Then we're going to throw in some jQuery. And then we're going to look at the same to-do list, just implemented in different frameworks, and we'll discuss the pros and cons along the way. So let's start implementing that to-do list. So let's say we're given this HTML. Just going to make this a little smaller. So as you can see, I have a little header that says to-do, and a little box where I can enter a description of a to-do, and then a new item button. So let's try to enter a new to-do to this list. So give a JavaScript framework seminar. And I'm just going to hit new items. Okay, so I get this JavaScript alert that says implement me. So we got to implement it. Let's check out the code for this, both the HTML and the JavaScript. So here's our HTML. As you can see here, here's our little to-dos header. That was that bold thing at the top. And then we have the input box with the placeholder. And then, as you can see, there's a certain attribute of this button that calls this function addTodo. So does anybody want to sort of guess what that onClick is sort of saying, signifying?
Action.
Okay, good. So the onClick is sort of like an event. Like clicking the mouse is just an event. And what we're doing is we're sort of tying the event of clicking this button to execute that function. Okay, so addTodo is sort of like this event handler for clicking that button. So as you can see, when I click the new item button, the onClick event gets fired, and this function gets called. So let's look at that function, okay? So as you can see, here's my JavaScript code so far. So what I have at the top is just a global data structure for my to-do list. Looks like an array, right? It's just an empty array. And then I have the addTodo function that we saw earlier. And the only line of code in there is just this alert, okay? So it just alerts implement me. And then I have sort of two tasks at hand. I have to add the to-do to that global data structure. And then I just want to draw out the to-do list, okay? So nothing too fancy just yet, but JavaScript you may be unfamiliar with, so I'm just going to go slow and sort of review the fundamentals of JavaScript in that way, okay? So let's give this a shot. Okay, so let's say the user enters something in this box, right? So I just type something in here, text, right? How do I sort of access that text through JavaScript? So remember that JavaScript is sort of like one of its fundamental features is that it gives us like this programmatic access to the DOM. It allows us to sort of access elements and their properties of this actual HTML. Okay? So the way we do that with just bare bones JavaScript is we can actually use a function in JavaScript called document. It's called getElementById. Okay? So I want to sort of store the text that's typed there in some variable. So I'm going to say like new variable called new to do, and I'm just going to get that element. Okay, so this is a function document.getElementById. Okay, and now I'm getting an element by ID, right? So I need the ID of that text box. So I've given it the ID new to do description. Okay, so that's how I'm going to get an element. That's my argument to this function to specify which the ID to get. Okay, and so that's an element in HTML. And it has properties. You've seen these. They're attributes, right? So the attribute of the text element that sort of stores the user's input is called value. Okay? So I've saved the value of that text box now in this variable called newToDo. So now I have like programmatic access to this variable, which is kind of cool. Because now what I can do is I can just add it to my to-do list, right? So the way we would do this in JavaScript, and don't worry if you're unfamiliar with this, but just sort of going through is todos.push, okay, because that's the name of my global data structure up here. And I'm just going to push new to-do, okay? So this is great because now I sort of have added it to my JavaScript representation of that to-do list, right? But now how do I get it back to the HTML? I have to find a way to sort of like push it back, right? In other words, I kind of have to draw this. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to draw the to-do list. So I need to update other HTML on that page. And as you can see, I've left this little container here, this divider of the page, whose ID is to-dos, and I'm just going to put the to-do list there. Okay? So first, I'm going to clear it out, because say there was an old to-do list there. Okay, so I'm getting that element by ID again, and I'm accessing the inner HTML of that element, and I'm just going to clear it out. Okay? So that just, if we just left this code as is, we would just see a blank nothing there. Okay? And now I want to start rendering my new to-do list. So I'm basically going to wipe out my to-do list. So now the inner HTML inside of that to-dos div is just completely clear. Okay? And now I need to start adding my list. So the first thing I want to add back is the unordered list tag, which basically kind of denotes that this is the start of an unordered list. Okay? Okay? So now for every element in my to-dos array, I just want to sort of print it out inside of that HTML. I kind of want to append it onto the bottom of this list, right? So just like in C, I can use a for loop, and I'm going to start at the beginning of my list at element 0, and I'm going to go all the way to the length of the list. So we can actually just get the length of an array in JavaScript using the length property. So basically I'm going to do something very similar inside of here to print out that element. So I can, again, access the to-dos div, okay, the inner HTML property of that, and I'm just going to add on this new list item. And that's going to be surrounded by this li tag. Okay, and I'm going to concatenate with the plus operator. Okay, and that's the ith element of my to-dos array. And then I'm just going to close that tag. Okay? So now, for every element, we'll add a new list entry. Okay? And then all we really need to do is just close off that tag. So just need to close off that unordered list tag. So do you sort of get a feel for how that works? So this opens the entire list. This adds individual elements from the to-dos list to the list, and then that closes the entire list. And this is just my add to-do function. So I basically begin by getting the to-do from the text box. I add that to the to-dos array, and then I sort of re-render the to-do list. So now I can add items to my list, okay? So this is kind of exciting, because in just a few lines of code, we've basically made a to-do list where we can add items. So, great. Okay, so that's kind of a basic introduction to JavaScript. Don't worry too much about the syntax for now, but just think about this conceptually. So we had some HTML, we had a text box on the page that basically allowed users to input like a to-do item to add. And then we basically use JavaScript to fetch that to-do from that text box. We stored that inside a JavaScript array, which is basically like our programmatic representation of that to-do list. And then we just printed it out. Okay? So this is to-dos.js. Okay, so this is kind of cool. But like, how can we take this further? Well, as you can see, this is kind of not like a complete to-do list, right? For example, like I can't mark any of these items as incomplete if I wanted to like reprioritize the items or delete items. Like this is okay, but like we can take this further. So I'm not going to talk too much about the individual, like I'm not going to talk too much about like adding extra features, but we could take that further. Let's talk about adding one more feature to this to-do list, okay? Which is just going to be being able to check an individual to-do item and have it be crossed out. So basically saying like, I've done this, okay? So let's look at some code that could accomplish that. Okay. So notice what I've done at the top is I've added a new global array, okay, called complete. So I basically am using this to store whether the items on the to-do list are complete or not. Okay. So this is one way to do this, right? If I look at the implementation of this, the display, basically, if I enter a to-do and I press this toggle button, crosses out. So every item on this list has either a complete or incomplete state. And I'm just using another array to represent that. Okay. So basically for every to-do in that to-dos array, there's an item in the complete array that basically indicates whether that is complete or not. I've had to make pretty minimal changes to this code. So here's our add to-do function. So notice that here I'm pushing it onto the array, and then I'm pushing a zero to that complete array, basically kind of like in parallel with that new to-do push to basically say, like, I'm adding this item and it's coupled with this value, which just means that it's incomplete. Okay? And then I'm redrawing the to-do list. Now notice I've added this draw to-do list function, right? So this takes a lot of the code we had before, basically clears out the box, then draws the new to-do list. But notice that inside of this for loop, we're doing a little more now. We're basically checking whether the item corresponding to the ith to-do here is complete, right? And we're behaving differently in these two circumstances. So if it's complete, we're adding this del tag, which is basically the way you can get that like strike-through effect, crossing out the to-do list, if it's complete. And if it's not, we're not including that, okay? And so that kind of takes care of that. And that's one way to accomplish this, right? And then when the user, notice when the user clicks one of these, we toggle the completion status of it. So we basically, when the user clicks, we'll reverse whether it's been completed or not, and then we'll redraw it. So this kind of works, right? We have these like functions that sort of like carry out their own tasks, and like this is okay. Is there anything we could do better about this though? Is there like, so notice we have these two global arrays, right? Is there, if this was C, say, and we had two arrays that kind of represented like data that was sort of related in some way, what would we sort of use in C to kind of combine these two fields into something that sort of encapsulates both pieces of information? Anybody want to make a suggestion? Exactly. So we could use some kind of struct, right? And like if you think back to like say pset3, like remember we had dictionary and then we had whether the word was in the dictionary, and all that information was like put together inside of some data structure. So one thing I can do with this code to avoid having these two different arrays for similar pieces of information is I can combine them into a JavaScript object. So let's take a look at that. Okay. So notice I only have one array at the top now. Okay. And basically what I've done is, and this is just the JavaScript syntax for sort of creating like a literal version of an object. And notice there are two properties. So we have the to-do, and it's sort of kept together with whether it's complete or incomplete. Okay, so this is very similar code. We're just using the JavaScript objects. Okay, so this kind of improves things, right? Like now, all these fields of related information are kept together. When we go to print it out, we can access the fields. Notice how we're doing to-dos i.complete instead of checking the complete array separately. And notice when we want to get the to-do string, we're just getting the to-do property of that to-do. So this kind of makes sense because every item has these intrinsic properties about it. It has a to-do, and it has whether it's complete or not. Okay? So not too many changes there functionally, just added some more to the code. Okay. So this is an improvement on some fronts, right? I mean, we factored out the design a bit. Now we have objects to basically encapsulate this data. Is there anything like more we could do from here in terms of JavaScript? Like, notice that like this code right here for like getting the inner HTML of a div is a little, I guess, long, right? Like there's just document.getElementById todos.innerHTML. Like one thing we could do to sort of make this code like look a little friendlier and so I wouldn't have to keep scrolling left and right back and forth is I could use a library like jQuery, right? So let's check out Seminar 2. Okay. And this is the same code, but it's done with jQuery. So you may not be too familiar with jQuery, but just know that jQuery is sort of a library for JavaScript that makes it easier to do things like access individual elements of the DOM. So here, instead of saying document.getElementById to do's.innerHTML, I can use the much, I guess, cleaner way in jQuery, which is just to use selectors. So as you can see, this code did get a little cleaner. Very similar functionally, but that's the idea. So we've seen a couple of things so far. So we started with just raw JavaScript implementation. We sort of added new features and showed how we can kind of improve it with just what we have in JavaScript. Does anybody see any sort of like difficulties with this design? Namely, like, I guess like, or not necessarily difficulties, but let's say we weren't doing a to-do list project and tomorrow we decided we wanted to make like a grocery list or a shopping list project, right? Like, a lot of these features are very similar, right? Like, a lot of the things we want to get out of JavaScript are very common, okay? And this kind of underscores the need for some kind of way of like making this easier to do. I had to sort of like build up all of this HTML access, like all of this DOM access, all of this like I'm going to represent the to-do list with this model. And notice I'm sort of responsible as the JavaScript developer for sort of keeping the HTML and JavaScript that I have in sync, right? Nothing automatically made that HTML go to, or that JavaScript representation of the to-do list get pushed out to HTML. Nothing like sort of enforced that except for me. I had to write like the draw to-do list function. And that may not be, I mean, it's reasonable to do that, but like it may be tedious sometimes. If you have a larger project, that could be difficult. So frameworks, one of the purposes of frameworks is to simplify that process and sort of factor out these common, I guess you could say, like design patterns that people generally have some kind of way of representing data, whether that's a friends list, whether that's like map information or something, or a to-do list. Some people have generally a way of representing information, and they generally need to keep that information sort of in sync between what the user sees in some kind of view, speaking in terms of like the model view controller that you saw in lecture, and then the model, which in this case is this JavaScript array. So frameworks sort of give us a way to solve that problem. So now let's take a look at the implementation of this to-do list in a framework called AngularJS, okay? So this is it. Notice it fits on a slide. I don't have to scroll to the left and right. That probably isn't a great reason to recommend using a framework, but notice like very simple. Am I ever accessing like individual HTML elements here? Am I ever going into the DOM? Do you see any like document.getElementById or something like that? No, that's kind of gone, right? So Angular sort of helps us keep the DOM and our JavaScript representation of something kind of in sync. So if it's not in the JS file, right, if there's no way of sort of programmatically getting to all that HTML content from the JavaScript, how are we keeping this in sync? So if it's not in the .js file, it's got to be in HTML, right? So this is the new version of the HTML file, okay? And notice we've added a lot here. Notice there's these new attributes that say like ng-click and ng-repeat, okay? So Angular's approach to solving this problem of like difficulties in design is to basically make HTML much more powerful. So Angular is a way of sort of allowing you to make HTML somewhat more expressive. For example, I can say that I'm sort of going to tie or bind this text box to a variable within my Angular JavaScript code. So this ng model does just that. That basically says that the item inside of this text box, just associate that with the variable new to-do description within the JavaScript code. Okay? So that's very powerful because I don't have to explicitly go to the DOM to get that information. I don't have to say document.getElementById. I don't have to use jQuery's like DOM access. I can just associate it with a variable. And then when I change that variable within JavaScript, it's kept in sync with the HTML. So that simplifies the process of having to go back and forth between the two. Does that make sense? Okay. Cool. So, yeah, so notice there's like no HTML access code. We've just made HTML more powerful. We've just made HTML more powerful. And now, for example, we can do things like this. Like, when you click on this, call this function within the scope of todos.js. And we could do that before, but there are other things like this ng model. And notice this ng repeat. So what do you think this does? So here's our unordered list from before, right? We have the UL tags. But am I ever like rendering that list inside of the JavaScript code? I'm not ever explicitly rendering that list, right? So how does this work? Well, the way Angular accomplishes this is called a repeater. So basically, this says that basically I want to sort of print this HTML for every to-do inside of my to-dos array. So inside of todos.js, there's a to-dos array right here, okay? And this will sort of tell Angular, go through that array, and for every element you see, I want you to print this HTML. So this is kind of awesome because I can just do this without having to write a for loop, say, which for a to-do list that was only like 30 lines of code may not be like the most beneficial thing, but like if you have a large project, this could get very convenient, right? Cool. So this is one solution to this problem, making HTML more powerful, okay? And that allows us to sort of keep JavaScript and HTML in sync. There are other possible ways to solve this problem, and not every framework does this. Not every framework works along these lines. Some frameworks have different approaches, and you may find that you enjoy coding in one framework over the other. So let's look at one more. This is the to-do list coded up in a framework called Backbone. Okay, I'm just going to go through this quickly. So I'll start with the HTML before we go there. One sec. So starting with the HTML. So as you notice, our HTML is very similar to what it was before. Okay, so not too much new on that front. But our JS file is a little different. So Backbone kind of has this idea, or builds on the idea, that a lot of what we do with, say, our JavaScript projects is think about models and collections of these models. So this could be, for example, a photo and collections of photos, or the idea of a friend and a collection of friends. And oftentimes, when we're programming JavaScript applications, we'll sort of represent the idea of having a collection of friends somehow in JavaScript. And Backbone sort of gives us this layer on top of JavaScript's existing arrays and objects to sort of do more powerful things with that more easily. Okay? So here, I've defined a to-do model, okay? And you don't have to worry too much about the syntax, but notice that what's one of the properties of this? It has a default field, right? So Backbone allows me to sort of specify already off the bat any new to-do that I create is going to have these defaults. Now I can customize this, but being able to specify the defaults is nice and it's kind of convenient because this is not something that's like inherent in JavaScript. And now I don't have to explicitly say that the to-dos are incomplete. I can just say like right off the bat the to-dos are going to be marked as incomplete. Okay? So notice then what is this? So now I have a to-do list, right? And that's a collection. Notice the field associated with that says model to-do. So this is my way of telling Backbone that I'm going to be thinking about a collection of these individual to-dos. So this is basically the model structure for my program, right? So here I have this idea of a collection, and basically the items contained in that collection are all going to be these to-dos. And that kind of is very natural in this sense, right? Because I do have to-dos and I have them in a collection. Okay. So let's look at a little more of this. Okay. So here is a Backbone view. So the other sort of thing that Backbone says is that a lot of the models that you're thinking about, or even collections, are going to need to have some way of being displayed, right? We need to render that to-do list. And wouldn't it be nice if we could sort of provide for each model, or associate with each model, this view that allows us to sort of, connect the two together. So whereas before we had to use a for loop that would like run through every to-do in our list and then print it out, here we can basically connect it with this model. So this is a to-do view, okay? So this is associated with the to-do we found earlier. So now every to-do is kind of displayable or renderable by this to-do view. So notice some of the fields, okay? So what do you think this tag name is? Tag name li. So remember from before, when we wanted to render a to-do, we would have to sort of explicitly pair our to-dos with this like li tag. Now we're saying that like basically where this to-do is going to sort of live is going to be inside of an li tag, okay? And now we're also associating events with our to-dos. So every to-do has this one event, okay? If you click pretty much like the toggle button, that's what I'm saying there, then basically mark the to-do as the opposite of what it was before, and then re-render the application. So this is kind of similar to the code before. Remember when we sort of marked it as either the opposite or, and then we re-rendered it. But notice now, like, this event used to be something that was just in the HTML. It was just sort of sitting there that, like, the button had an on click. When you click the button, kind of like do the stuff to sort of set up that to-do to be incomplete. Here, we've associated that event of clicking that toggle button and reversing whether it's on or off with this view. So this is a nice way of sort of like setting up this event so that it's very tightly bound to this view, okay? And so notice this one more. So I have this render method, right? And we don't have to go through the details. It's kind of similar to what we have before. But notice I'm not looping through anything. I'm not, say, printing that UL tag that's sort of saying, like, I'm going to print all the elements. I'm just sort of providing the functionality for rendering this one to-do item. Okay? So this is a very powerful concept, because basically our to-do list consists of all these to-dos. And if we can basically specify the way to render one of those to-dos, right, then we can just have our sort of powerful backbone, per se, render all of the to-dos, right, by sort of calling the render method on the individual to-dos. So this is kind of a concept that is useful here. Okay. So now, a good question to ask is, like, how is this application being put together? Because we have the ability to render one to-do, but, like, how do we sort of get the idea of multiple to-dos? So let's take a look at that. So this is the last part. Notice we have a to-do list view here. And notice it's also a view. Okay. And just to go over a couple of things. So this initialize method will be called when we first, like, sort of create this to-do list. Okay. So as you can see, it's sort of like creating the to-do list and associating it with this view. Okay. And then I've sort of added the functions here. So basically when you add an item, right, this is similar to the add item method we saw before. I'm basically going to create a new to-do object. And notice I'm actually calling this new to-do method. So this is sort of provided by Backbone. And I can just pass in my properties here. Okay. And now that will, every to-do that I create using this will get that functionality that we saw before. Okay. So notice I'm clearing out the text box before. Small little detail. And then I'm just adding this to-do to this collection. So this almost seems weird, right? Because before we just had to do that like to-dos.push and then we were done. But like, and this may seem more complicated for this particular project. And you may find that Backbone or even Angular or any other framework doesn't suit your particular project. But I think it's sort of important to think about like what this means for on a larger scale for larger projects. Because if we had a larger project where we were representing some really complex collection, something deeper than like just a to-do list, but say a friends list or something like that, like this could come in handy because we could sort of organize our code in a really convenient way, in a way that would make it easier for, say, somebody else who wanted to pick up a project to sort of like build upon. So you can sort of see that this provides a lot of structure. Okay. And then I'm calling render on this add item. So render, as you can see, and you don't have to grasp this full syntax, but basically for each model, it's just going to call the individual render method. So that's sort of where this comes from, that like, let's just specify how to render the individual to-dos, and then let's sort of glue them together as a whole. But this provides sort of a way of abstraction, right? Because I could change the way I decide to render the individual to-dos, and I wouldn't have to change any of this code. So that's kind of cool. And yeah, so does anybody have any questions about JavaScript frameworks?
Can you show the HTML file?
Sure. Oh, sure. That's a great question. So the question was, how did I include the frameworks? Okay, so most JavaScript frameworks are basically just JS files that you can sort of include at the top of your code. So notice in the head portion of my HTML, I have all these script tags, right? And the final script tag is the code that we've written. Okay. And then the three framework code are just also script tags. I'm sort of including them from what's called a CDN, which just allows me to kind of get it from somebody else at this point. But yeah, so you can just like, every framework sort of has this, just like, you can pretty much find the content for a particular JavaScript library available on some CDN or something like that, and then you can just like include these script tags. So does that make sense? Okay, cool. And yeah, so those are kind of two different approaches. Those are not the only approaches to solving this problem. There are many different things that somebody could do, and there are many frameworks out there. Angular and Backbone do not tell the whole story. So yeah, good luck with your final projects, and thank you very much.